Howdy, friends. Greg Melby here. Welcome to the Lyrics and Laughs podcast, brought to you by Luke Andrews of RE/MAX Premier Properties. Have you ever considered investing in real estate? Don't make the same mistakes Luke made buying his first investment property. Learn from all of Luke's mistakes in his new book, which you can download for free at 10investormistakes.com. On Lyrics and Laughs, we recite and discuss amazing country lyrics in an attempt in converting our non-country music-loving friend Kenny into a fan. Tonight, it's not about Kenny. No chance he is converting this time around. Ricky Skaggs' version of Uncle Penn on episode 95 of the Lyrics and Laughs podcast. There he is, Dr. Chuckles, Joe Bennett.
Oh, the people would come from far away to listen to the podcast at the break of day.
Captain Poetry, Eric Clemens.
Greg, I realize I do not compliment you enough, and you look nice today.
Oh, so I was waiting for what comes after that.
New leaf is what they call it.
Oh, okay.
I think you did this in episode like 20.
Yeah. Recycled. And not a fan, Kenny Rambo. All right, thanks.
New leaf.
Yeah, he's just not going to say anything.
Is new leaf the term?
Yeah. Turning over a new leaf.
Turning over a new leaf.
Okay. I shortened it. It's what the kids do these days.
Leaf.
No, just, it's got to be new leaf.
Less.
I'm not a monster.
Just go even less, I think. Lech.
Biba. It's a Biba. If you have not done this yet, which we know you haven't, go Google the Reba Justin Bieber photo mashup, and it's probably the best thing I've seen this week and last.
Wow.
Yeah. And I had another kid last week. Best thing I've seen. That's a lie. I did not.
You showed it to me tonight, and you knew it was going to be right up my alley. Because for people's birthday posts on Facebook, I've been taking your eyes and nose and putting it on people's faces to wish them happy birthday. And it has brought me so much joy.
The matte black edition.
Yeah.
He was 45 today. I don't know.
No, we don't know.
He was somewhere in his 40s today. And that was fantastic. He looked like a gremlin.
Yeah. Picture that sound. That's what he looked like.
Do you ever feel like we're just like here, Kenny?
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
It was my understanding I wasn't necessary tonight.
Okay.
No, Kenny, you're going to love this song.
Yeah. Always necessary. I think this wins you over. I don't know what Greg's talking about.
Honestly, a little reverse psychology there.
Incredible. Do you all know me at all? To open anything by saying it's not about me and think I'm going to participate. I mean, let's be real.
It's a great story song.
It is.
It has a lot of historical merits behind it.
I mean, Uncle Penn.
Yeah.
Does anybody have an Uncle Penn?
Mm-mm.
I have an Uncle Bob. I
got an Aunt Pencil.
I have an Uncle Bob.
You got a cousin Ricky.
I do.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the only reason I'm sure we're doing a Ricky Skaggs song tonight.
No. Ricky Skaggs is a part of the fabric of country
music.
I mean,
if you were close, Ricky Skaggs would be on the show with us.
No, but we are not close. Ricky, if you haven't heard me say it before, Ricky Skaggs is my step cousin. We've only met a handful of times. He wouldn't remember me at all.
He's going to listen to this podcast, I guarantee it. But Ricky, thank you for listening.
Yeah, he sang at my dad and stepmom's wedding when I was 7 or 8 years old and here at Elizabethtown. And I remember like being in awe that Ricky Skaggs was like there.
So you were seven. That would be 89.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Ricky's a huge star.
Hot stuff. I mean, he is actively receiving CMA, CMT awards.
Earlier in the 80s, that was like his big... You know, kind of. That's when his popularity kind of soared.
Yeah, like 1980s.
82. I think. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but him being there, and I remember at the reception, I was so nervous, and I just went up to him and said, Mr. Skaggs, can I have an autograph? And he did it, and I have no idea where that is. But the last time I saw him, actually, my step-grandfather was at the nursing home here in Elizabethtown, and got a call that Ricky and his daughter Molly were there, and Ricky's wife Sharon, and they were we just hung out in the lobby at the nursing home, and Ricky didn't play at all, but his daughter Molly just sang songs for my grandfather. And Molly's a really good singer too.
She's a Christian artist, isn't she?
Yeah, she does some of that stuff. She's been on what is it, like Bethel, I think, music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bethel Music. I mean, that's she. Well, yeah. Look her up.
It's that song is awesome. The one in particular that we're thinking of. But yeah, they just sang, and or Molly just sang, and my grandfather was just like smiling, having a great time. It was a really cool moment.
I want to go back to the family gathering because I think that would be a fun thing. Like randomly at, you know, family reunions, weddings, funerals, whatever, those things where you get brought together with all these distant relatives, to just randomly pick someone out and go ask for an autograph.
Well,
like no explanation.
All right. Our good friend, this is a true story. This, hand to God, this is a true story. Our friend Mark Malone had released his second album and comes to my grandmother's funeral and is signing autographs at my grandmother's funeral. This is a true story. Do you remember this?
I have a picture of it.
Oh, yeah. Post the picture. First up, the first thing that happens is a couple of my cousin's children recognize him and come up to him and ask for an autograph, and he laughs in their face because he thinks that I've put them up to this.
Oh, what would have ever given him that idea?
But they're legitimately, like, they've been watching his stuff and everything. They're legitimately fans. And you know how kids are. They see something on, you know, especially at a young age. Like, kind of like Joe was with Ricky.
Yeah.
Except
Ricky's legit.
So, and then, so
we've
he laughs
not done
in their
a Mark
face.
Malone song yet.
No. He doesn't, I don't know. But, so he... They're being serious. I did not have anything to do with this. He laughs in their face, and then he ends up signing autographs. So we roast him for laughing in the kids' faces. And then once he finally was like, oh, crap, so he does the autographs, and then we roast him for signing autographs.
He signs it. He signs it on the, like, you know how they have the little podium where they have the, where you sign in?
Yeah. Right.
That's where he signs it. Like, oh,
he needed a stable surface.
And he was grabbing my grandmother's eulogy, you know, the trifle things, and that's what he was signing over and handing that to the kids. Well, this looks like free. I made that part up. He didn't really do that.
But. Hey, so speaking of good pranks, any news on the lost key front?
No. I talked to the gentleman responsible today, and anytime he calls me now, I just start the conversation with, you suck. He's like, well, how many have you gotten this week? And then I, you know, list off the list or whatever. I got a call from our local police department this week that was investigating a burglary. And at the business, they're investigating the burglary. You know what piece of evidence they find?
Do tell.
Set of keys.
No.
And the keys have my phone number on them. So he calls me. He's just talking so fast I could never see him. Found a set of keys. You know, we were investigating a burglary, and this may just be coincidence, but they just happened to be in the parking lot and had your phone number on them.
Like, did you lose
so, like,
keys or
you local the, PD here?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to go.
Yes. Yeah. I immediately...
I'm going to go character witness. I'm telling you, he was there.
I hang up the
phone. I know
phone.
He was there. I saw him at that business myself.
Sir, we're just trying to determine, did you lose a set of keys or are you the dumbest burglar ever and left your phone number behind?
And in my defense, it was a public place and someone could have just lost their keys during business hours, but it was really funny. And then, so I immediately hung up the phone and called... basically friends with all the police detectives in this town. And I called one of them and said, hey, you got my back, right? If this comes across your desk tomorrow. And they said, oh yeah, we got your back for sure. I was like, great. I'm going to go to jail. But
this is the best prank of all time.
It really is. His commitment to it though is remarkable because
I saw him Sunday at church,
but I mean, let's for folks that maybe are tuning in for the first time that are monsters that are starting with episode number
95
instead of just
get
binging
your crap
from the
together
beginning.
People,
it starts with one, folks.
Yes,
but if you're just tuning in, Eric has been pranked.
Yep.
A friend of his is dropping random sets of keys with a tag on them that say, if lost, call Eric's number.
Yes.
Has been outed thanks to security footage.
He was a groomsman in my wedding and was out at day three. Yeah,
it was early. Because
it was not day three.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
No, it was after that. It was after that.
It was pretty early.
It was early, but it was not day three because this started before Christmas, if you remember.
Oh, well, yeah.
You didn't find out until after Christmas for sure.
Okay.
No, it was before Christmas because I have the video here. I don't remember how much before. The 21st of December is when I found out who it was.
And as we record, it is what? February 23rd.
Yeah. So 2 full months plus.
Yeah.
And for at least most of that time, the prankster has been outed. Doesn't care.
Yeah. Greg, you said you saw him at church.
I saw him at church after service, in between services, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I just interrupted the conversation, went in, and just made sure he knew that he's my hero. I said, I think that's exactly what I said. I said, I just want to make sure you know you are my hero. And we had a nice
church
laugh.
And I just want to mention what I'm thankful for.
Right, yeah. I might have said that too.
So this guy was a groomsman in my wedding, and he and I also own several trailers together, which is something weird to own with someone, but we do. So he calls me today, and the only reason he called me was to ask me about us purchasing another trailer. I answer the phone, "You suck." And he says, yeah, you have codes, blah, blah, blah. And I said, at this point, he's ordered more keys. Like, him and his kids, like, "Don't forget the keys, Dad. We got to..." It's like a bonding experience with him and his daughters now.
That's exactly what made me really happy on Sundays when he told me that he ordered more keys.
I was just looking for something fun to do with the family.
So I just told him, I said, "Chris, all I'm doing is just taking note. That's all I'm doing right now. I'm taking note."
This is going to show up in a mom blog.
At some point, it's going to end. And then everyone's going to forget about it.
It's when you die.
And then I'm going to unleash.
So, you know, on Saturday, last Saturday, when they were out, there were like four in the cup holder. And he just went to a parking lot and went, whoop.
Yeah.
Because they were there.
He told me that he drove around the square, which is where our office is, just around downtown. And just was throwing out keys as he drove.
Like, I want to get, like, we don't have a lot of friends in this. We know a lot of retired state police people. I don't have a lot of friends that are active in the state police. So I told my brother, who works for them, give me the number of someone local that I can report him. And then they can just follow him and then... We just watch how many sets of keys he throws out and then give him a $500 fine for littering per set of keys. That would be great. Like, maybe that's my payback. I don't know.
It's so good.
It is good. So tonight we're featuring Uncle Pen, a song written by the legendary father of bluegrass. Literally.
Yeah. Step cousin to Joe Bennett.
Nope. Literally. Nope. The inventor of bluegrass music.
Oh, the writer. Okay. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to keep up sometimes because I don't pay attention.
Bill Monroe.
Wrote.
Uncle Central Pierre. City, Kentucky, right?
No.
No.
Rosine, Kentucky.
Is that near Central City?
No. Probably. It's in Ohio
County. It's in Ohio County. Yeah. Central City is like further, like, isn't that closer to like Bowling? Isn't that closer to Bowling Green?
It's Bowling Green. Central City is kind of maybe between
Ohio County
of Kentucky.
Well, I think it is central to maybe Bowling Green and Owensboro. I don't know.
Does Ohio have a Kentucky county?
I don't think so. I know a lot of county facts.
You do.
I mean, you asked the right group here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not believe that Ohio has a Kentucky county.
Is there a Kentucky county anywhere?
I will look that up. I would be surprised if there is.
There should be.
But there are so many counties named after people either born in Kentucky or have some connection to our state. We have a ton of counties.
Kentucky is literally the birthplace of counties.
That's what I've always said.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Yep. Mark that down. Take that. Put that on.
It expels county.
Expels counties. Yeah.
From its crevices.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's our state motto.
And sends them outward to the world to do county things.
Yeah. So again, Uncle Pen, a song written and originally recorded by Bill Monroe.
I like that's a T-shirt.
Is this P-N-N? P-E-N-N?
P-E-N.
P-E-N.
And it is short for James
Pendleton
Van Diver.
Which, what a name.
Legitimately,
mark
Bill
your
Monroe's
bingo cards.
Uncle Pen.
We have a bingo.
Okay. Just following up there, I do not see a Kentucky county anywhere.
You know, I kind of like it that way. I like the uniqueness.
Yeah.
Like, Kentucky is a name that could only be a state.
And Ohio County is technically named after the river. Usually, if you find, like, county names tend to be after people or landmarks or tribes, Indian tribes, Native right. American tribes.
So, hold on, help me out.
I am your county expert.
You're being yeah. helped.
So, Ohio County is named after the Ohio River,
mm-hmm.
not on the Ohio River.
No, because it's landlocked, right?
Yeah, landlocked, I believe. Yep. What is the Ohio River named for?
I think Ohio is a Native American term, right?
Okay.
I believe it's either a term or I'll look it up.
That's fair.
I'm on it. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, I mean, people are here for the research.
I was going to say, are we going to change the name of the podcast?
To research.
Lyrics, laughs, and counties. There's a concept.
Okay, so this is pretty, okay. It's an Iroquois word that means great river.
Okay.
So it really is about the river.
Okay. So the river is named Ohio. And does the state then take its name from the river?
I think that is how it goes.
Okay.
Actually, literally the first sentence on the Ohio Wikipedia says, the state takes its name from the Ohio River.
Okay. So the river begat the state and the state begat counties.
Well, and they say it's originated from the Seneca word, meaning good river, great river, large creek.
Okay.
The Ohio River Valley.
So great river.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That is what it means.
Fair.
Uncle Pen, a song written and originally recorded by Bill Monroe. Besides Bill Monroe, a song recorded by Porter Wagner in 56, the Goose Creek Symphony in 71.
Yes.
Preach.
Michael Naismith, The Monkees in 73.
Can you believe that?
The Monkees. Uh-huh. Like, hey, we're the Monkees?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ricky Skaggs in 1984.
And the Wikipedia doesn't mention this, Greg, but you know who else recorded this song?
Who's that?
Goldie Hawn.
Really?
What? Yes.
If the Wikipedia didn't mention that, how do you know?
Goldie Hawn recorded a country album that featured the Buckaroos from Buck Owens Band.
Sure.
Dolly Parton helped out.
Okay.
It was recorded in the early 70s. And you can go on YouTube and you can listen to Goldie Hawn's version of Uncle Pen and some other country classics as well. It's not my favorite version of Uncle Pen. I'll go ahead and say that.
Well, but you have family bias.
Sure. Fair. That's true. But yeah, Goldie Hawn actually recorded this song as well, which I thought was really...
Firm number two.
Really weird.
And going back to your family here, the wedding. So Ricky is singing at your dad and your stepmother's wedding, yes. Fresh off his 1986 Best Country Instrumental Performance Grammy Award.
Wow.
Fresh off his 1987 Vocal Duo of the Year CMA Award.
Wow.
And fresh off his...
Who is that?
1987 Specialty Instrument...
We have a guest.
He's
doing research award. Over there.
Yeah.
Who is that? He complimented me
a
early.
A Grammy, a CMT, CMA, and a C and an ACM Award.
I don't even know what we do with this. Here's the deal. He's not turning over a new leaf. He planted an entire new tree.
And a TNN Music City News Country Music Award in 1989.
What's TNN? TNN. What's TNN?
Turner News Network.
The Nashville Network.
There you go. That's my boy.
Yeah, there you go. Instrumentalist of the Year. Same year. He probably got that because they got married.
Wow.
They heard him singing at the wedding.
And Ricky and his wife Sharon, who is a part of the White family.
Yeah.
That's their last name. Which they're a bluegrass country, legendary group.
Well, and I mean, I want to contribute here. If I'm recalling correctly, Bill Monroe, is the Charlie Daniels of bluegrass, right?
No,
no,
is that how that works?
That's offensive to Bill Monroe.
Charlie Daniels would dream of being Bill Monroe of country music.
My country metaphors are like,
oh man, look at that. Hey, Eric, did you see that?
Bill Monroe.
Joe and Greg with one time. Like at the same time.
Bill Monroe not only
does not compute. It's like if you're a robot, check this and pick out the trains or the buses.
Bill Monroe created bluegrass music.
Okay.
He wasn't just like the best at it, he created bluegrass music. He is the father of bluegrass.
How do you feel about bluegrass music? Do you hate it even more than
country? I'm not answering this because I refuse to be a part of another podcast with you guys.
Oh, man. I love bluegrass music.
There is nothing better than bluegrass music.
It's even when it's a miserably sad song.
Have you had pie?
No, I'm just... There isn't.
Have you had your feet in the sand?
No.
I feel like there's a long list here, Eric.
No, there's not. It's
the twang, the jokes, the harmonies.
Have you ever hit three green lights in a row?
Now you're making up.
Listen, we don't all live in the world of lighted door handles on our cars. I mean, some of us are just happy with bluegrass music.
Oh man.
I do love bluegrass music, and I've told this before. We used to go to bluegrass music festivals as a kid. We would travel around. I remember going to different states and going to bluegrass music festivals, and they are super fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Really fun.
So Ohio County, the Bill Monroe Foundation, does a big bluegrass festival, which is right next door, literally right next to the Bill Monroe Homestead, which in Uncle Penn, where he talks about when parts of the song he talks about hearing Uncle Penn playing, those hills are right there.
Yeah.
And my race management business was asked to do a race for the Bill Monroe Foundation called Run the Ridge. It literally runs the road, Jerusalem Ridge, that they're singing about, that Bill Monroe sings about. The first meeting I had with their foundation, I was sitting on Bill Monroe's porch talking about the race.
Really cool.
This is crazy.
So when did he pass?
In the early 90s. No. 96, I think, maybe, Bill Monroe passed.
So help me out. Why do I associate Bill Monroe with Central City? I had a work connection to Central City very early in my career.
He passed in 96.
96.
Okay, hold on. So Central City is near Beaver Dam, Kentucky.
Okay.
Beaver Dam, Kentucky is the home of the Bill Monroe home place.
Which, actually, it's Rosine, technically. But yes, Beaver Dam is right there.
Okay.
It's got a Beaver Dam address.
Well, the museum is in Rosine. The home place is in Beaver Dam.
There we go.
Up on the hill. Okay, Central City is right there. Okay.
Okay, I thought Central City was further.
I still think we need to do the podcast. We should have done this podcast from the porch.
We can still do another Bill Monroe song. Now, that's not off the table here.
It's great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we actually went up and scouted out the course, and it just looks like a muddy, dirt trail. It was a road in the 1800s.
Crazy.
And it's on the map when you pull up GPS. It is still listed technically as a road.
So we need to do Blue Moon of Kentucky on Bill Monroe's porch.
During a blue moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did I tell you guys that we had that race we did for the fun of it? We put a banjo player, even though Bill Monroe played a mandolin, we couldn't find a mandolin player to do it. We put a banjo player out on the course.
So it sounded like Deliverance. So people are running.
And that's exactly what they played. They played dueling banjos.
Best time ever.
So the first runner crested the hill. And
I don't mean an enjoyable time, best running time ever. I am out of here.
So when that first runner crossed the finish line, he said, "Whoever put the banjo player at mile two, you're genius. That's got to be my fastest half mile ever."
Okay.
Yeah. Because he said he crested the hill, and out the middle of nowhere is a guy smiling at him playing dueling banjo on a rock. And there were other people who had to do five laps. That guy was a runner, and he moved spots. So he got some of them five times.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought it was genius.
So Ricky Skaggs did an album called a tribute album, a Bill Monroe tribute album called Big Mon. And it was one of his highest grossing albums.
Again, who is this guy?
Ever.
Bill Monroe?
No, oh, that guy? This guy with all, yeah, the, I know, all the info.
I really like Ricky Skaggs. It has nothing to do with Joe. Me and Joe have never met. I'm a fan of Ricky Skaggs. But, I mean, he did a Bruce Hornsby, Bruce Hornsby, and him did a album together, and it's one of my favorite. It's one of my top 10 favorites ever.
Ricky Skaggs, though, is an amazing talent.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And has had, I mean, you talk about his connections over the years from he learned to play the mandolin at, what, like 5 or 6?
He tried out for the Grand Ole Opry at age 7, and the only reason he didn't make it is because he was too young.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, you're a little too young for this.
But I think he becomes the youngest member, he does, at least at the time, of the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes.
At 7.
I'm still blown away by Eric, this version, yeah, of Eric.
I'm just a fan.
Like, I like fan. It. I like it.
Yeah.
So at 6, he sang on stage with Bill Monroe, and he was also a part of, he did a variety show with Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, mm-hmm, at the age of 6 and 7.
So give me a little bit of a sense here. So Bill Monroe to Ricky Skaggs, like the age difference there.
A lot. Oh,
yeah. A lot. Yeah. Okay. So this is someone that he,
yeah,
looked up to, was a fan.
Bill Monroe
of.
Was born in 1911.
Okay. I was going to say.
Ricky Skaggs was born in 1954.
Okay. And it's like, this won't mean anything to you all, but when I see Ricky, it's weird how much he looks like my stepmom, my stepmom has passed. But like, I can see their resemblance, and it's just freaky to me. Okay. Like, even now, yeah, like, it's just weird.
I appreciate the age context thing, though. So about 43 years difference. So it's kind of the way we look up to you, but, Greg.
Yeah.
Gosh, I do want to punch you right now, but I'm not.
Are we going to do a Greg Milby tribute album at some point?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I'm game.
Well, I'll just get on the radio and talk all morning.
So Ricky
digging up bones.
But you think about Ricky Skaggs at the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, performing with these legends of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be good.
You got to be born with it.
You got to be good.
Or maybe
to
it's
be
Maybelline.
Able to do that.
And Ricky's connection with country music is super fascinating because he ends up meeting Keith Whitley at a young age. And Keith Whitley's a very famous country music artist.
They're the same age, right? Or close to it?
A year apart. But
we've not done a Keith Whitley song yet, have we?
No, we have not, I don't believe.
We should. We've got to.
There's but always next week.
Yeah, they end up meeting and form a connection. And then Ralph Stanley, who's another bluegrass legend, they end up opening for him eventually. And so that's kind of where like that path went for Ricky. And anyways, it's really interesting story. It's a Kentucky story. I mean, really.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And when I think about bluegrass music, I think more Eastern Kentucky, which is where Ricky is from, but Ohio County is more Western.
It is where bluegrass lives. Yeah. Because the IBMAs, which the International Bluegrass Music Group, they had a bunch. They used to have a conference in Louisville all the time. They moved it to Owensboro because it is closer to that area that was even more ingrained.
This is the one we're going to where we get to see little big town singing in a hotel room, right?
No, that's a country radio seminar, which is going on right now. As we...
What the hell, Greg?
I know. We talked about going, but it was, nothing was done.
You're supposed to be my alarm clock.
It is happening as we speak right now.
Well, stop the podcast. Let's hit the road.
As we talked about this earlier, it's Wednesday, and nothing good happens there on a Wednesday. Remember? Or was that a Tuesday?
I don't remember now.
What night was Luke Bryan doing his Bill Cosby impersonation?
No, he never did that.
Tuesday night, or was that Wednesday night?
I don't think he ever did that. I don't think he ever did that.
Tuesday night or Wednesday night? At the whatever the things are.
Why don't we just ask him? Hey, Luke.
Luke, get in here. He's not here. He's at the things. Oh. He's doing the Bill Cosby impression right now.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, wait a second. Impersonation didn't go too well, huh?
Yeah, they asked me. They said, I never heard of this term before. They said canceled. And so they asked me not to come back anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, they asked you to leave and not come back.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I did it. And then I looked at my manager, because it was silent.
Yeah.
After I did it, I thought, did I smoke them?
Okay.
Did I smoke them?
You weren't. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And because I thought, oh man, I slayed this crowd.
They're down.
I mean? Yeah, they're down.
All down.
Yeah, sure. All down. Mm-hmm. And, my manager said, Luke, you shouldn't have done that.
You shouldn't have smoked them.
I shouldn't have smoked
them. Okay.
With that impression. You live and learn. You know what I mean? You live and learn.
Did you give everybody Jell-O afterwards, though?
I give them the pudding box.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see how that didn't kill.
I know.
That canceled, but it didn't kill.
Do we have to beep that?
I know. You think, listen, if somebody gave me a pudding pop, you know what I'd say?
Oh. What would you say?
Thank you.
Oh. Huh.
Or nothing, because I was asleep.
Oh, I see what you did there. They were homemade pudding pipes.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right, y'all. I got to get out of here before I get canceled again.
Aren't you supposed to be in Vegas?
Probably.
Vegas? Why Vegas?
He's got a residency going on in Vegas right now.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke gets to do all the things.
Well, I think the podcast kind of helped open that door from what I understand.
Well, sure.
That's what people are saying.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, Riley... You're good. Him, you know, and what? Riley
I've
Green.
Heard four people say that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's, and I think they're all in this room. They're in this room.
I was going to leave that part out.
Well, you know, this is how things get started.
Well, speaking of sponsors, Fazoli's, thank you for your sponsorship.
Yeah, we appreciate
five under $5. That's five... Five meals, under $5. They're also under 500 calories. Can you guys believe that?
Wow, man. Thank you, Fazoli's.
Fazoli's, unlimited breadsticks. Now, if you want to stick to that under 500 calories thing, don't eat Hub breadstick. But, you know, thanks, Fazoli's, for giving us your monies.
Most importantly, Lyrics and Last was somewhat proudly brought to you by Luke Andrews of REMAX Premier
Properties.
You think
he's ever been to Fazoli's?
Have you ever considered investing in real estate? Don't make the same mistakes.
Fazoli's franchises?
Buying the... His first investment property.
You mean just the property that the Fazoli's restaurant is sitting on.
Of Luke's mistakes in his new book, which you can download for free at 10investormistakes.com.
In a McDonald's, not
also available at eatabreadstick.org.
Ooh, eatabreadstick.org. Oh. Man, those sound good. You think we go get some Fazoli's?
Should we get to lyrics?
We are 32 minutes in.
Oh, my God. That's a record. I think that's a record.
And have not touched the lyrics.
Oh,
I have tried numerous times to get us back in here.
The good news is we don't have a lot of lyrics.
Yeah. All right. You ready, Kenny?
Apparently.
You got a job to do.
And now, a reading.
Oh, the people would come from far away to dance all night to the break of day. When the caller would holler, do-si-do, they knew Uncle Penn was ready to go. Shall we stop there?
We can.
Kenny, your thoughts?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this sounded like maybe, I don't know, it felt like a similar opening to Gin and Juice.
Oh, wow.
Bringing it some. You know, that was the vibe I was getting.
So,
wow.
Ricky Skaggs and Bruce, we're going to speak this into existence. Ricky Skaggs and Bruce Hornsby are going to perform Gin and Juice.
I would love that.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a Ricky Skaggs Snoop Dogg collabo.
There we go.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I bet Snoop had an Uncle Pen.
That sounds right.
Or an Uncle. Never mind.
But Uncle Penn was the dog back in the day.
Yeah.
Speaking of Snoop. When he showed up to the party, the party got started.
That's right.
Really? That was square dancing.
Oh.
But
I'd like to retract my Gin and Juice comments.
So, they probably had gin and juice. Probably a little more moonshine than gin and juice.
And Uncle Penn, as you mentioned, is a real person.
Yeah.
This is Bill Monroe's uncle that was basically his mentor. They taught him how to play. He was a fiddler, born in 1869.
Named.
Died in 1932.
Name again?
Named.
James Pendleton Vandiver.
Wow.
And,
so he apparently got hurt. I don't know if it was a farming accident
with that
or whatever.
Name,
so
imagine.
That's why he started playing music professionally. He started playing at the square dances because that's where he made a little extra money.
Huh.
Because he just couldn't farm like he did back in the day.
Does anyone in here know how to read music?
No.
I know Eric doesn't.
I don't know how to read words.
That's a good point.
Good point.
I don't know how to read music.
My wife plays piano, and my son is taking lessons.
And we have a piano at our house. My wife is really, like, she can read music. You give her something, she can, I mean, like, that's a different language.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
It's wild. Yeah. Because I've just toyed around with it and, like, that you can read the, it's really impressive to me when someone, like, you think about back in the day, like, 1800s, Stu's playing a fiddle. He learned to play a fiddle. It's not like he could go on YouTube or whatever. You just had to, like,
why not?
Yeah, they didn't have YouTube back then.
Oh.
I'm getting, hang on. Yes, I can confirm. I looked it up. YouTube did not exist in the 1800s.
You should open another search tab.
Let me look again one more time. Okay, nope, I was wrong. YouTube did exist. That's weird. Huh. Can't believe that. Okay, never mind. Forget my story.
So he played the fiddle, mm-hmm. and would call the line dances or the square dances, made some money there. But apparently he would go over to Bill Monroe's family's homestead before he would go to the line dance. And so he'd have dinner and would play some songs for them around the fire.
So what did calling the square dances consist of?
Did you not have square dancing in PE?
No, we did.
No.
No, but I was thinking about the whole music reading thing, because, like, I had music classes in high school. I took a music class in college, and I'm suddenly realizing how uncoachable I am.
No, that's no kidding.
Like, I have nothing to show for that.
Yeah.
In fact, my most vivid memory of music class in school, and I think it may have been actually middle school now that I'm thinking about it, was being sent to the hallway. Maybe so, that's why I didn't grasp the concept.
Okay. If I'm going to, every good boy does fine. You can remember, know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that have? What is that?
That's the scales, right?
But for what? Here's the thing I never understood. The treble clef, that's like the top one, then the bass clef is different, right? So the bass clef is, I can't remember which one it is now.
I don't know if I should beat this out or not.
It's crazy. Like, someone can just look at both of them and play all this crazy stuff.
Actually, yeah. My most vivid memory from music class was the warm-up. 1-1-1, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2. I don't know. I can't do it with a microphone in front of me. It's too much pressure.
Look, my extent of my musical career was sixth grade when they go through the line and they're like, hey, let's pick an instrument. And I couldn't decide if I wanted to play the trombone or trumpet because I couldn't remember which one was which. So as it gets to me, nobody had picked a trombone or trumpet yet. So I had a 50-50 shot. I called it wrong.
Which one did you get?
I called for the trombone.
Okay.
I wanted to be the trumpet player. Mm. Totally ruined my life. Never was good. I was second chair to Kathleen Austin for 3 years in middle school.
Shout out to Kathleen Austin.
Oh, she did it a couple of years ago on Facebook. It was like, still talking trash about it.
Jeez.
I was like, I'm second chair. And then I didn't tell anybody, but there were only two of us. So
you worked your left arm instead of your right fingers.
I was horrible at it. I'm not very good at the game. So anyway, but now
Greg was playing with his foot.
Yeah,
he was all about it.
So anyway, I wanted to play the trumpet. Ended up playing the trombone. Didn't work out for me. So anyway, but I have a kid now that's a music major, in college,
and he's very talented. He can.
Yeah,
he is very. I've not very figured talented. Out where that came from yet.
The mailman is where it came from.
That's what I think.
We were
I've
out.
Said that numerous times. Haven't seen how tall he is.
Yeah.
Mindy and I were out for dinner for a first time with another couple. And on the way to meeting them for dinner at a restaurant in Louisville, we plotted all these, like, crazy backstories that we were going to give about how we got together that were completely off base, you know. But we're sitting there, we're talking and, you know, getting to know one another. And they start having this conversation because they had both played in band. Mindy had some of that in, like, middle school, didn't stick with it, ended up playing tennis, I think, through high school. And I had none of that. And they had this conversation, and the three of them all agree on what instrument I would have played. And I think it was trumpet. And there was that meant something. It was something about my personality. And I still don't know what they meant, but I felt so judged. But they were all in agreement. Oh, yeah, yeah. He would have definitely.
I agree with him. You're a trumpet player.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know enough about band, but I do know that we have a friend named Cheese who was big into band. And if that
love
dude.
Love the band.
Oh, love the band. And if I'd have met Cheese now and you said, what instrument you played? I said, oh, tuba.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, there was
nothing else he would play. What did he play? Yeah. Was he like a clarinet?
No, he played the tuba. Oh, really?
That was how they characterized this, was that anyone that you meet based on, you can like, oh, they would have played. And I'm still not sure if they were trying to compliment me or insult me, to be honest.
I'm pretty sure it was an insult.
That's fair.
We did a sketch in the Eric and Joe show around the little drummer boy, and there was a tuba involved. So I say that because Joe and I were talking to each other, and it's like, oh, we got to find a tuba. Cheese. And called cheese, and guess what? The next day we had a tuba. So... this is a true story. You talk about me not being able to read.
That's almost like a drinking game when you say it's a true story. We could. That's five drinks in right now.
Five. Well, all right. Chug away. I took guitar lessons from Rod Stewart's guitarist, Mr. Biggs. And after two guitar lessons, he was complimenting my fingers. Oh, you got long fingers. It's just perfect, everything like that. After two lessons, he knew I was never going to play the guitar. So, I mean, he had an eye for talent and not talent. Oh, yeah, he still took my money. I did those guitar lessons for 6 months and couldn't play you anything right now.
I can't believe I'm going to ask this. How did you come to be taking lessons from Rod Stewart's guitarist?
He lived here.
Okay.
He lived in our town.
Easy enough.
Did you know this? That there is a... hang on. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make sure I'm correct, but I'm going to look it up real fast. Go ahead and read the next lyrics.
He directed that question to you, Greg, with the assumption that there's no way Eric and I would know.
No. You'll understand.
Okay. Eric's a research guy now.
Late in the evening, about sundown, high on the hill and above the town, Uncle Pen played the fiddle. Lord, how it rang. You could hear it talk. You could hear it sing. Instrumental break.
This, again, country music does a beautiful job of painting a picture. It's storytelling. That's what I always love about country. I was, oddly, I was listening to a podcast today that was interviewing Shay from Dan and Shay.
Okay.
They're a country, pop country duo.
Okay.
You've probably heard one of their songs. They have a duet with, triet with Justin Bieber called 10,000 Hours. Yeah, that's it.
Triet.
Yeah. You for sure heard some of their music at some point. But
Triet's what you're going with.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. he was talking about how the reason he loves country music is because of the storytelling, and that's what it comes down to. And this song really does paint a picture.
Was it Dan or Shay?
It was Shay.
It was Shay.
It was Shay. Greg, this is what I was going to say. Did you know another famous person, or I guess related to a famous person that lives in town, the band Styx, you're familiar with?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who goes to our church? It's Tommy Shaw's brother from Styx.
I'd actually heard that.
Yeah.
Because our pastor had told me that.
Yes. And if you don't know who Tommy Shaw is, and well, Styx is an awesome band. But he goes to our church. I was talking with our pastor about it one night. Mm-hmm. And
that's one of his go-tos, I think, in conversation with
someone. It should be. Music.
Why?
He don't know why. He lives around here. I don't know why, but Tommy Shaw is from Alabama. I guess they're from Alabama. So it's not like crazy that he would live in this area. But anyways, that was very fascinating to me because that was really school.
I remember hearing that story a few times.
As we have shared with, I think, the podcast audience before, the four of us were all featured in Hardin 100,
mm-hmm.
a local mm-hmm. magazine feature that identified 100 people.
You should know.
98
people.
In Hardin County. And the brother of the Styx person is one of them.
No, but I'm thinking there's a whole other feature. Like, you know, Hardin's related to famous people. Right? Because Joe could be in again.
Hey, don't give it to them. We'll take that.
Okay.
We'll run with that.
All right. So.
So.
Two down, 98 to go.
So back to the song, because that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, sure.
I will tell you, though. I want to get you guys down to the Bill Monroe Foundation.
Okay.
And sit on the porch.
Yeah.
And
podcast.
When
he also just wanted us about whatever's going on in Nashville this week.
No, I didn't want you there. I just told you we should go. I didn't say I wanted you.
Right now, we got a guy doing a Bill Cosby impression. We got Little Big Town singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And us not there. They did it for us.
There's probably a lot more going on there.
What, like?
Huh?
What kind of things, Greg?
Pontoon things.
Yes, pontoon things going on.
Pontoon things.
So, but anyway, if you were, we were doing that race, you could hear the runners on that ridge. And it was really weird because it is about 3/4 a mile away, but because it's up on a hill, the sound travels. And it made me think about that song, because where they're running would be where the fiddle player, where Uncle Pam was playing. So it's kind of cool that that sound travels like that.
So when was the first time a violin became a fiddle?
Ooh, I have no idea. It's tuned differently.
Yeah, and I would guess it
different
has
different strings, right?
I'm totally guessing here. I don't have a correct answer for this. But because, like, Irish and Scottish people immigrated over to America and tended to, like, the Appalachian culture is a lot of that. That would be my guess.
Okay.
I don't have I'm not sure if that's the right answer. I'm going to look that up. But that's just my guess. It is amazing. Like, you think about right now, like, my kids, you know, if they want to listen to a song, they'll just say, which, by the way, do your kids say search up?
Yes.
I don't know what that.
No, you don't.
Yes. Let's talk about that. What is that?
I don't know, but they always, like, instead of saying, like, Google or search for or look for, they say search up.
Yeah.
Blank.
Yeah.
Search hey, for or look up. Had a baby.
Yeah. One of the kids will want something, you know, to know if it's available on Amazon. Search up.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Insert.
It always throws me off every time they say
it. Yeah. I feel like I should correct them.
But whatever.
And then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not woke.
Yeah. But my point is like, my kids can search up whatever song they want because of, you know, through Spotify, Apple Music, whatever it is, and they can listen to it. So imagine living in a, like, back then. You know, you're Bill Monroe, and when Uncle Penn comes to town, it's a big deal because he can play music.
Right. Like, and this is the only way you get it.
The four of us, you know, if we live in a town, we're not playing a song. But when Uncle Penn comes, it's like, oh, this is going to be dope, y'all.
So one of the lyrics here
is straight up the entertainment. It is the big event.
Yes.
He's playing the fiddle, Lord How It Rang. You could hear it talk. You could hear it sing. Mm. Have you ever heard someone play an instrument so well that it didn't matter the music that was coming out of it? You could just hear it just talking.
Emmanuel, guitar player.
Tommy Emmanuel.
Tommy Emmanuel.
Yep.
That dude is ridiculous.
Yep.
Keith Urban on the guitar.
Yeah, I was going to say Keith
Urban. Is ridiculous. Charlie Daniels.
Yeah.
With the torque wrench.
With the torque.
Okay.
There's a fiddle player in bluegrass music, Michael Cleveland, who's from Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah, and can make it dance and sing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean,
John Mayer.
Yeah, there you go.
Like,
yeah.
It's like a different genre of music, but I think what he does, even going back as far as like Jimmy Page for Led Zeppelin, something like that, like Slash, Guns N' Roses, like those kind of guys, they just do different stuff.
Keith Urban, though, at the country radio seminar, since we're not there, I'll reference something. There.
Greg!
They had a guitar roundtable. It was with Harley Allen, who wrote The Little Girl for John Michael Montgomery and a couple other songs. Great songwriter, great guitar player. He was there, Pam Tillis and Keith Urban. Pam Tillis was the hostess. So technically, as they would play specific songs multiple times around, she was supposed to close out the show because she was the hostess, but she refused to do it. She said, there is no way I am going to follow a finale of Keith Urban.
Yeah, sure.
So she performed and then had Keith Urban do this solo, and he played every part of the guitar, every part of that guitar, and it was unbelievable what he played.
Yeah, I don't think we appreciate enough, like, again, we're recording a podcast. I've got a screen. I've got a laptop sitting literally in my lap. There's a screen. We have a TV because we're watching the UK basketball game. We have so much entertainment.
Yeah.
And like, I go back to even my childhood where I didn't have cable TV at my dad's house. And so, you know, once Saturday morning cartoons were done and Star Trek came on, and I'd get so pissed because I didn't want to watch Star Trek. I wanted more cartoons or professional wrestling. I had to figure out something to do, you know? And we didn't, it wasn't like we didn't live in town. I couldn't just walk somewhere. You had to figure out stuff to do.
Should have learned to read music.
I know. I just wasted so much time.
You were so bored.
I just wasted so much time. We had a piano. We had guitar. We had all sorts of instruments at my house. It was weird. And I didn't get any of it.
There's someone else who, when they played their instrument, you could hear it talk. Glenn Campbell, when he played the banjo. And his daughter got a lot of that as well. If you hear her play, I can't remember her name, Ashley, I think. But
and to go back to the fiddle violin thing, in medieval times, fiddle also referred to a predecessor of today's violin. So I guess the fiddle part was first, actually.
Huh.
The violin became.
I would love to know why, and I don't know the answer, Bill Monroe plays the mandolin. He played the mandolin. He played the guitar and a few other things, but the mandolin was his...
Had a cooler sound.
...key instrument. I think how you play the mandolin, the chord progressions and all that stuff, is the same as the fiddle without the bow.
Just upright?
Yeah. So it makes me wonder, did he break a bow and couldn't afford a bow? Or I don't know, because I'm sure Uncle Penn taught him some of that. Had to have.
And Ricky's main instrument is the mandolin.
And I apologize to Ricky Skaggs, who is most likely listening to this podcast. Sure. By now, he's gone. Yeah. But if he clicks, if he speeds up forwards, fast forwards, and gets to this part, I think he is one of those people that can make an instrument dance.
Yeah. He's so talented.
I don't know. I guess if you guys could talk more about me and less about this bullcrap, that would be great.
Be great. Maybe we should get to some more lyrics, though.
Late in the evening, about sundown.
Oh, nope. Nope, you already did that
one. I'll never forget that mournful day.
Nope.
Yep.
Well, he played an old tune.
I do not have that.
I'll read it.
Cool.
Well, he played an old tune they called the Soldier's Joy. And he played the one they called the Boston Boy. Greatest of all was Jenny Lind. To me, that's where the fiddle begins.
What if you just did this?
I would be better at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot better.
And
you do the research, Eric.
Oh, I've already got the research done.
Well, one show.
So did you look up these songs at all? Soldier's Joy?
New Leaf, Greg.
So Soldier's Joy is a fiddle tune classified as a reel or a country dance. It's kind of in the American fiddle canon of things. And so that's just, you know, whatever. Boston Boy, sort of the same thing. But then the Jenny Lind. Now, Kenny, how do you know that name?
I want to connect this to Stephen Foster. No?
No. Connect it closer to home, brother.
Really?
Because have you ever been on the historical walking tour in downtown Elizabethtown?
Ah, thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Jenny Lind was a very famous singer. They called her the Swedish Nightingale. If you have seen the movie The Greatest Showman, she's part of that movie. Of course, they take some liberties with her story or whatever. But she was brought over to America to sing and
wooed people everywhere.
Yeah, she was apparently just unbelievable. Again, at a time, she's probably the Adele, you know, of that time. But again, if you don't have all these entertainment options, she becomes a superstar automatically. But that song is, I guess, apparently based
she basically on her. In Elizabethtown where we are did a concert. As they were traveling through to pretty much pay for the hotel rooms and that kind of stuff.
It was just Barnum.
Yeah.
Brought her over.
He's like, hey, yeah, we'll do like a concert in exchange for some rooms.
And people also ask on Google, did P.T. Barnum have a relationship with Jenny Lind?
The answer is no. Because, she is the greatest showman.
The story in the greatest showman. They take some license there.
Yeah, because she was famously like Christian. You know, pretty moral, you know, had high standards.
In the movie, his wife sees him just kind of ooing and awing over her from the side of the stage.
But anyways, that's like our connection to that. So if you go on the Elizabethtown historical walking tour downtown, One of the characters is Jenny Lind, and so that song is a fiddle song about her, or at least connected to her, I should say.
Oh, and as a Swedish descendant, we're probably related.
I'm sure.
That's my step something.
Oh, no doubt about it.
So,
well,
all right, some more lyrics because we're 55 minutes into this podcast. Wow, today.
Yeah. Had some fun tonight.
Instrumental. Okay. I'll never forget that mournful day when old Uncle Pen was called away. He hung up his fiddle, and he hung up his bow, and he knew it was time for him to go. Late in the evening, about sundown, high on the hill and above the town, Uncle Pen played the fiddle. Lord, how it rang. You could hear it talk. You could hear it sing.
Golly, I want to just listen to the song right now.
Late in the evening, about sundown, high on the hill and about and above the town, Uncle Pen played the fiddle. Lord, how it rang. You could hear it talk. You could hear it sing.
Did you have any family gatherings where someone played instruments or like?
No, not family gatherings. We had several gatherings, friends and stuff, where people would sing and it was awesome. But no, not family gatherings.
Some of my family on the Bennett side, they would like, you know, they'd bust out the guitar or whatever. They'd, you know, people would start playing or.
And then Ricky Skaggs gets married into the family, and it was kind of like, never mind.
Just be quiet now.
I've been to some bluegrass events before where they do those jam sessions to where somebody's playing a guitar and somebody's got a banjo and they're playing around a campfire. And the next thing you know, there are 10 people around them and they're all playing. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, at the age of 4, I was paid to cover Kenny Rogers songs.
Wow.
But, you know, whatever.
And it went down from there, though, right?
Yeah. I mean.
You know, Ricky Skaggs.
Moved on to new enterprises.
Yeah. I just think the idea of, like, to me, like, the music goes back to, like, thinking about people that you just don't have a lot. What else you got? You're going to play music because you got to be entertained somehow. Life's hard. And when this guy comes around, it's like, all right, we got a party. This is it.
Uncle Pen
in
the building.
Spotify.
What you think? How happy was Uncle Pen in heaven that Bill Monroe, not only, you know, his nephew that he taught to play the mandolin, not only was a good musician, but he created a whole genre of music.
Yeah. And we're still talking about Uncle Pen today.
Yep.
While the rest of us are going to be forgotten as soon as we die.
Yep.
Greg or Kenny, are you okay?
It does, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, enjoy it.
The day you die, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the day you die, it doesn't matter who you are.
At some
start
point,
getting your name
fade away.
Yeah, be a good person, enjoy life.
Yeah,
love Jesus and
live
and have some fun. You know.
Yeah,
because we're but a vapor.
Wow. Ooh, south real fast.
Back to dirt.
Yep.
So is that all the lyrics?
You know who doesn't care about what you did is in your life. The worms eating your eyeballs, they don't care.
Yeah. They're just hungry. They are just hungry.
Yeah.
Buy a cheaper casket. They can get to you quicker.
Don't buy a casket at all.
I say just put you in the ground.
Let's just speed it up.
Yep.
Are we out of lyrics?
Please say figure out that I was poisoned. That's going to be real bad for the second autopsy.
Hey, big guys, over here. Are we out of lyrics?
Do you remember when they dug up Zachary Taylor, the president? Because he lived in Louisville, or he was buried in Louisville, right?
Yeah.
And they dug him up.
Is he still buried there, or is he now buried somewhere else?
They put him back.
Yeah, it's there at, like, Brownsboro and West, or Watterson.
Mm-hmm. I heard they buried him at sea, like the Ohio River. Nope. Like, well, at some point, he'll make it to the sea.
Nope.
Ah, crap, I just seed him.
He was doing so well.
And get eaten.
I mean, I think he peaked. We went too long on this podcast.
Yeah.
We lost him.
Well.
It's like the kid, you know, you're like, you know what? We shouldn't have stayed at the family gathering that long.
Right.
Because he was good for a while, and then he just kind of lost it. Riddling
wore off.
He's broken Uncle Ben's fiddle.
Yeah. For like basically for 57 minutes, we were okay if Ricky Skaggs did decide to listen.
Yeah.
Now,
spoiler alert, he quit listening after
a long time ago. Yeah.
This podcast isn't about me at all.
So needless to say, I won't be sending an email to the Bill Monroe Foundation to listen to this podcast.
What?
What if you
to endorse it? Huh?
Wait, I'm just saying, at some point, worms eat our eyeballs. That's all I'm saying. It's coming for all of us.
It is.
Take a look at your hands. They're being eaten by worms, basically, as we speak.
Are we out of lyrics?
You know how Joe comes into like, vacation's over. We don't even go on vacation, dude, for 6 more months, and you're already telling me vacation's over. Well, worms are already eating your hands.
All right, ask Kenny the question.
What is going on? Kenny, you're basically dead already.
Might as well live it up, brother.
So just be a fan of country music.
Yeah.
We could do stuff with our life instead of this.
I just hope they remember he wasn't a fan.
It's on your headstone. It's already written.
Well, sweet dreams, Fairdale, because you got nightmares coming tonight. Think
you're
about
basically
worms in your body.
Dead already, Fairdale.
You know, actually, I have no idea. I mean, where I could even cut that if I wanted to and edit that podcast.
What? We're worm food. It's fine.
Lyrics and Last, somewhat proudly.
Doesn't even matter, Luke. We're
brought to you by Luke Andrews of RE/MAX Premier Properties. Have you ever considered investing in real estate? Don't make the same mistakes Luke made.
You like buying a house someone died in.
Buying his first investment property or sponsoring a podcast. Learn from all of Luke's mistakes in his new book, which you can download for free at 10investormistakes.com/the 11th is a podcast. Be sure to subscribe to and
to write another book. Well, this one's called about advertising.
You know what? Don't subscribe to and rate our podcast.
But don't read it because we're all worm food.
Wherever
by now
you find
anyway.
Lyrics and Laughs. Also, check out the Lyrics and Laughs page on Facebook and Instagram. You'll get sneak peeks into next week's episode and other weird content. Just search Lyrics Laughs Pod. And don't miss out on the Lyrics and Laughs country music playlist on Spotify. We thank you and we apologize again for listening. We'll see you next week for episode number 96 of the Lyrics and Laughs podcast.
Worm Food is my next single!